have one more announcement. Everybody that has been asked to bring food and supplies, give them to Sister Sarah in the kitchen. This is for the Fall Festival. And without any further ado, we're going to have Brother Hood come and speak to us. Brother Hood, tell us what God has to say for us.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. You may be seated. I always look forward to coming to Birmingham and to see what God's going to do. And it'd be a little bit different today, but I want to encourage you again tonight and even next weekend to invite friends and neighbors and associates, people that need to get right with God, and folks that may be curious about what's going on in our world. And prophecy is a very slippery subject. If you lined up 30 prophecy experts on the platform here, they probably would have similarities of belief, but they would disagree on some facet of biblical exposition. But that's concerning prophecy. The one thing we can agree on is who's coming. We know it's Jesus coming. We know that it's a literal return. It's not just an allegorical text, because it wasn't an allegory that went away in the clouds in Acts 1. And he said, the angels told the disciples standing there, observing this glorious ascension of Jesus, he shall come in like manner. So I appreciate what God is doing. I've put several presentations together. I do have some material in the back that you can avail yourself to. I have a couple of DVDs on prophecy. I have also some soul-winning CDs that come with a Bible study. I have some Bible study CDs, one in particular called The Days Ahead, and that is a 30-day biblical examination of Middle East events. That's available. I also have a 365-day Bible study on CD called Day to Day. I know some of you here have been a part of subscribing to Day to Day. This is a year's collection, 365 Bible studies, and there's about 400 words a day. So there's some meat, there's things to learn, Bible exegesis, exposition, narratives, poetry. So there's a little bit of everything in there for you. It's not a monotonous thing. Amen. I'm a proud father of another son. I have about a six-week-old. I'll show you a picture tonight. Amen. I didn't want to get him mixed in with wolves and dragons today, but didn't want you thinking that was one of the heads of the seven heads or something. I didn't want to get it mixed up. But he's healthy, and we're excited. Of course, I have a 12-year-old daughter, Natalie, and a 9-year-old son named Adrian. And now I have a 6-week-old named Barrett. So they're excited. We're excited. Well, let's get into this today. I want to ask you to stand. I want you to reach over and take your neighbor by the hand. I want you to begin to pray that the Spirit of the Lord would open our understanding. The Spirit of God would move upon neighbors and friends and family members today. Those that need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Listen, I'm not worried about the mark of the beast, because I've got the mark of the best. I've been baptized in the name of Jesus. But there may be some here today that would be concerned about that, that need to be concerned about that, that need to be concerned about the delusions of the end time, that need to be concerned about seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, that need to focus and concentrate on a word from God today that can deliver them. And everybody shout in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Before we get into the presentation, you know, I was discussing even yesterday, Brother Reggie, that, you know, back in the 1940s, I wasn't alive then, believe it or not. But it must have been, even in the 30s and 40s, it must have been quite easy for that generation of believers to say, this is it. You know, the Lord's coming. The Lord's coming. You had Hitler who was trying to revive the Holy Roman Empire. You had Mussolini trying to revive the Roman Empire. The treatment and the Holocaust of the Jews, 6 million, you know, slaughtered in the Holocaust. It must have seemed, this is it, man. This is the tribulation. This is the Antichrist. And, of course, here we are 60 years later. In 1967, with the Six-Day War, and, of course, this is some 19 years after Israel is recognized as a nation by the United Nations in 1948, you have the Six-Day War. Now, my father-in-law, who pastors about 1,100 in Denver, he got the Holy Ghost in a camp meeting in Louisiana because a man by the name of Brother John Kershaw, he was a prophecy preacher back at that time. Of course, I wasn't even born yet. He held up the headlines and started talking about what was going on with the invasion of Egypt and Syria and Jordan into Israel. And man, when they cut the barbed wire and they start heading into the eastern part of that, it's over. And man, he got down to the altar because he says, this is it. This is the tribulation. We've got to get it right. Of course, you know, here we are 29 years later or 39 years later, and it hasn't happened quite that way yet. In 1973, you had the Yom Kippur War. Again, Israel outnumbered 100-1. In 1982, and I hadn't been in the church that long. How many remember the alignment of the planets? Do you remember that? And that was it. You know, it was going to be a sign that the tribulation had begun and so on and so forth. I remember the popularity of that. In 1988, I was a junior in Bible college in Mississippi when 88 Reasons the Lord's Coming in 1988 became very popular. And some of our brethren used that and had tremendous revival with it. 1991, I was preaching in West Monroe. I was actually a little bit farther out of West Monroe in a little place called Balcomville. But I figure you might appreciate West Monroe a little better. But when the Persian Gulf War, the first one, hit, and they were aiming those Scud missiles at Jerusalem, and people started coming in droves. I mean, backsliders praying through. We must have 75 get the Holy Ghost in a week and a half. Just a tremendous. Y2K. Now, come on, some of y'all still got perishables in your garage, don't you? Probably nothing has become more startling. Well, or 1993 at the Oslo Accord when Rabin and Arafat shook hands and joined hands with President Clinton on the White House lawn. That, you know, that seemed to indicate to many the beginning or the confirming of a covenant to begin the 70th week of Daniel. But, of course, here's 13 years later. Now, I'm not saying all this to be scoffing or facetious or to make fun. I'm saying Jesus told us in the book of Luke to watch and pray. We are constantly observing our current events to the template or the backdrop of Bible prophecy. Now, we probably all have made the mistake of over-sensationalizing something at one time or another. That is why I do not use the word theology flippantly. I like to use the word theory more cautiously in terms of who could be what and where it could be when. We are doing what Revelation 1 and 3 said. We're reading, we're keeping, we're hearing these words. And as we observe what's going on around us, these things do not catch the children of light unaware. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians, because our eyes are constantly focused on him. If you're concentrated on Jesus Christ, the other things will fall into place. You don't have to worry about the timing of things because your relationship with God will supersede everything else. Amen. So that's what we do. We watch and we pray and we ask the Lord for guidance and discerning of spirits. So I think you'll enjoy this today. We do have a 2 or 3 minute intro. So if you'll cut the lights, we'll cut out all the lights and we'll get some technical harmony going here. And if we can cut out all the lights on the platform, and we'll start our presentation. So our subject today, wolves and dragons. And if you'll just give me platform lights when we're not showing a clip. Matthew 7 and 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. My son was particularly scared by that picture. He said, "How'd you do that?" I said, "I didn't. I just found it." Zephaniah 3 and 3, her princes within her are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves. They gnaw not the bones till the morrow. Even a prophetic passage showing us the corruption of the justice system in the end time. Ezekiel 22 and 27, her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey to shed blood and to destroy souls to get dishonest gain. Acts 20, verse 29, this is Apostle Paul speaking to the Ephesian elders. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Revelation 16, 13, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, out of the mouth of the false prophet. And finally, Revelation 13 and 2, and the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard in his feet, or as the feet of a bear, in his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. We're talking about wolves and dragons. Now, when we use the word wolves, we are speaking primarily of that which is false, seducing, counterfeit, that which is of a deceptive nature. We'll talk about wolves of false prophets, false messiahs, and false intentions. And then when we're speaking of dragons, ultimately we are symbolically talking about the devil himself and the deceptions and the strategies that he's using to deceive the world and in his mindset to rule the world. So we'll talk about dragons in history, humanism, and ultimately the dragon of hell. Now, I probably will not finish this presentation this morning. It's packed with detail, and we're gonna talk till the Holy Ghost breaks in and decides to do what he wants to do. But I want you one more time to lift your hands to the Lord. I want you to ask the Holy Ghost to help you today. And of course, this is meant to be more than just informative today. It's meant to be evangelistic. It's meant to break the chains of deception that might be binding somebody today. In Jesus' name, I thank you for the anointing, Lord, that breaks the yoke. I thank you for the blood of the Lamb that cleanses from all unrighteousness. And I pray if there's one soul in here today that needs to make things right with God, that they'll do it before they leave here, that they'll be buried in the name of Jesus, that their sins will get washed away, that they'll be marked by the Messiah rather than an Antichrist that is to come, in the name of Jesus. Everybody shout, in Jesus' name. We'll first talk about wolves of false prophets. Now, false prophets have been around for a long time. They've been around really since the existence of time. The devil in the garden was probably the first false prophet by making pronouncements to Eve that were incorrect. And of course, she and her husband would find out later that he was a liar. He was a liar. You can look at events in history, like the time that Moses went into the court of Pharaoh with his brother and they threw the staff down on the floor or the courts of Pharaoh, and of course it turned into a serpent, this seeming to legitimize the authority that Moses had. And then what does Pharaoh do? He calls out his two false prophets, his two magicians, Jannes and Jambres, who come out and imitate as much as they could. But after a while, the line of divinity was drawn, and they had to admit themselves that the things that were being performed by God could not be imitated by man. It was of a supernatural origin, and it could not be counterfeited. Praise God. That's what I love about this apostolic message. You can have, as the brother said here a while ago, you can have similarities to it, but after a while, you can't go that far, because if you don't have the name of Jesus and you haven't been baptized by the Holy Ghost in fire, you can fake it for a little while, but you can't fake it for long. Amen. Some of the ones I'd like to talk about today, I'm having troubles with my remote. I think my battery's going dead. This is Joseph Smith. He claimed in the 1820s to have received an angelic vision from Moroni, someone who supposedly lived in America in the 4th century A.D. He was allegedly given seer stones in the shape of spectacles. He took these spectacles, put them on his eyes. He would bury his face in a hat, and he would quote or dictate to his wife for hours what would become known as the Book of Mormon. And of course, we know that is a delusion. Some of the drastic things that he said, one of the quotations that I read, the prophet Joseph Smith produced for the world 3 new volumes of Holy Scriptures. No prophet who ever lived has accomplished such a tremendous feat. There are only 177 pages in the Old Testament attributed to Moses, while this article deceptively claims Joseph Smith either translated through the gift and power of God or received as direct revelation from Jehovah 835. I mean, if you're going to lie, just lie boldly. This is another individual, Edgar Cayce. I'm sorry. I don't know if my battery's running down, but I'm having troubles with the remote here. Everybody clear your throat and clap your hands. This is Edgar Cayce. He was known as the sleeping prophet. He started out as a Sunday school teacher in a church. Must have been quite interesting to be in his class. He was into... we're just having troubles here. I was in a building about 3 times this big a few weeks ago. Didn't have any problems, but that's the devil. He hates technology when it's about Jesus. He was into dream interpretation, contemporary spirituality. He was into reincarnation, holistic health care, and ESP, and he called himself a Christian. Now, he would lay out on a sofa. He would go into a sleep-induced state, of which he would begin to tell people through this psychic ability not only things about their life and how to cure certain ailments, but he would tell them as well about their past lives. Reincarnation, we know that's a lie. And he is probably one of the most influential individuals to affect or infect astrology, governments, people in government, great political figures in the 20th century. And some of the things that he wrote in the 1930s and 40s are still examined by political figures today. We're talking about wolves of false prophets. This is a picture of Blavatsky. She was a founder of what was known as the Theosophical Society in 1875. She also established an occult magazine simply called Isis Unveiled, and she claimed to be in direct contact with Lucifer. Now you say, well, what does that have to do with me? She was very, very influential over figureheads and political minds of her day. She then affected this lady, Alice Ann Bailey, who lived until 1949. She also claimed to be in direct contact with Lucifer. She formed the Lucis Trust, of which many celebrities were a part of, in 1922. This is a picture of Benjamin Krim. He was born in 1922. From a young age, he was a student of the works of Blavatsky and Bailey, so he was very much influenced by their thoughts. He claimed to have been first contacted by the Master in 1959. The Master informed him that he would play a major role in the reappearance of the Maitreya of Christ. He formed the Share International Foundation in 1975. Since then, he's been traveling the globe, speaking and lecturing in preparation for what he calls the Christ, and claims to be in direct telepathic contact with both the Master, the devil, and the Maitreya, the devil. He told the United Nations in 1997, he did appear before them and speak to them, and said that when the world was in its greatest chaos, Lord Maitreya, his version of the Christ, would appear, that he was alive in the world today, and that he would appear when needed most. Now, he thought it would be by the turn of the century. Obviously, he must be a few years off. In other ways, he's off as well. This is a picture of Johannes Graeber. He was a Roman Catholic priest. He became interested in communication with spirit beings in 1923. These spirits often spoke through his wife, a spirit medium, and told him the Bible was full of errors. The devil is a liar. So if he says the Bible's full of errors, it means it's correct, isn't it? Yes, it is. The Bible clearly forbids all contact with demons professing to bring messages from God, but that didn't stop him. He very much influenced a community or society that is known as the Watchtower Society. They quote his translations of John 1 and 1. During the 1960s and 70s, the Watchtower Society occasionally used the translation of the New Testament by Johannes Graeber to support their similar rendings of John 1 and 1 and Matthew 27 and 52. We're talking about wolves of false prophets. This is a picture of Aleister Crowley. He is, of course, credited with putting together the Satanist Bible called the Book of the Law, and also has written a book called Magic in Theory and Practice and the Book of Thoth. He didn't take credit for having written them. He stated that they were written by automatic handwriting being channeled from a higher being, being called Awatz, the devil. We're talking about wolves of false prophets, wolves in sheep clothing. Now, he might have just kept his wolves clothing on, that particular one. This is a picture right here of Albert Pike. He was a Freemason and wrote a lot of material in the 1800s, basically unveiling a lot of the secret rituals of the Freemasons. He also believed in the Luciferian doctrine, and he has the grand distinction of being the founder of the Ku Klux Klan. Feel free to throw tomatoes at his picture. Darts and arrows, and if you have a gun, you can shoot it right here. So we certainly don't want to trust anything he has to say. We're talking about wolves of false prophets. Let's talk about wolves of false messiahs now. This is probably a picture that you may recognize. This is Jim Jones. He had about 1,000 members in what was called the People's Temple in California. He moved that temple in 1978 to Guyana. It was there that in 1978, 914 inhabitants of this cult that believed him to be the Messiah. He professed to his people that he was the reincarnation of Buddha, Jesus, Moses, Abraham, and the Father Divine. He was a very busy man. The sad thing is there were 276 children in those 914 that took cyanide-laced Flavor Aid and committed mass suicide, but all under the guise that this man was the Messiah. Now, you may have heard of Heaven's Gate, a secretive New Age religion. Knowledge of their practices is basically limited, but upon joining the group, members often sold their worldly belongings in order to break their attachments with earthly existence. For many years, the group lived in isolation in the western United States. Members often traveled in pairs and rendezvoused with other members for meetings or presentations they gave to recruit new members. For a time, group members lived in a darkened house, so they didn't have to buy very many light bulbs, where they would simulate the experience expected to have during a long journey in outer space. Now, folks, you have to understand, these people, they weren't 30 on the IQ scale. Some of these folks were extremely intelligent. They worked for the government. They were computer analysts for the United States Army. Whew, what does that tell you about the military? No, I'm kidding. Don't go there. A publication produced at this time received some press attention and was titled How to Build a UFO, and purported to describe an interplanetary spacecraft built out of materials such as old tires. They actually believed that the series Star Trek was true. I'm waiting on that moment when I can say, beam me up, Jesus. They got together in a cult setting, and in preparation for the suicide, members of the cult drank citrus juices to ritually cleanse their bodies of impurities. In the wake of the cult suicide, some of the members attributed their ability to attract new members by the growth of the internet. The 39 bodies of the cult members were found in a rented mansion in the upscale San Diego community, Rancho Santa Fe, California, on March 26, 1997. All 39 members were found covered with purple clothes, dressed in identical black shirts and sweatpants, along with brand new black and white Nike tennis shoes. They called themselves intelligent. And they make fun of Pentecostals because we run the aisles and shout and dance and love God with all of our hearts. The mass suicide of the Heaven's Gate group is one of the most widely known examples of cult suicide. They were considered very kind, gentle, the kind of people that you'd go, well, man, I would never expected that out of them. But Jesus said, beware of what? Beware of a devil coming here with a pitchfork. Beware of the obvious. Beware of wolves in sheep's clothing. See, we're living in a generation where people are so hungry for the supernatural. They're so hungry for a move of God in their lives that if you and I don't get with them with the bread of truth, they're going to eat whatever's placed on their table. And that's why Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 24. I mean, before he got into all the earthquakes and the sun darkening and the moon turning to blood and earthquakes and all of the pestilences and plagues that would hit this world, the first thing he said was, take heed, let no man deceive you. Discernment must precede demonstration. I don't care how many miracles they have. I don't care how many signs and wonders they have. If it contradicts the word of God, you have a responsibility to reject it. We're not built upon the foundation of opinions and men's commentaries. We're built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. If you build a house on another foundation, it's not going to stand. It must be built on the Word of God. This is a picture of David Koresh, who was formerly known as Vernon Howell. He changed his name to David Koresh in 1990 as a marketing scheme, but also because he believed it represented two people in history who were the anointed ones, David and Koresh, which was a term for the Cyrus, for the Persian king Cyrus, whom was called the anointed one. And so he called himself David Koresh. He was also a believer in the reunification of the three major religions in the world, being Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. He believed that he also was a reincarnation of Confucius, Buddha, Jesus, Abraham, Moses, and two or three others. Whew. Multiple personality disorders, I think what they call it now. Jesus would have called it demon possession and cast him out. That's what he would have done. Praise God, praise God. On February the 28th, 1993, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms raided Mount Carmel. The raid resulted in the deaths of four agents and six Davidians. Shortly after the initial raid, the FBI took command of the federal operation, and contact was established with Koresh inside the church. Communication went on for 51 days, and of course, you know, after that 51 days, the building that they were in, having been barricaded, it caught fire. There is all kinds of reports on that and speculation as to how the fires really began. I don't want to get into all that, but 76 Branch Davidians, including Koresh, did not survive the fire. 17 of these victims were children under the age of 12, all because he convinced these people he was the Messiah. What did Jesus say? Many shall come in that day saying, I am Christ. Christ is here. Christ is there. Now, to bring it home, we've talked about people in the 70s and 80s and 90s, but what about today? What about right now? This is a man, Jose Luis de Jesus Miranda. He lives in southern Florida, and he has thousands of followers that claim he is Jesus Christ. If you can see here, the man Christ Jesus, he is back presenting the true Reformation. Over here is a picture of Miranda, and he is in an interview with CBS where he tells them that one day I will be the president of the largest empire in the world. His message is basically one of the devil. It's one of indulgence, not separation from the world, not really focus on becoming a better person, but just indulgence. He has 300 centers in Central and South America, Southern Florida, and in the Caribbean. He has thousands of followers. But see, this is just another evidence of where we are in this generation. People that are going to fall. We're talking about doctors and lawyers caught up in this deception. I mean, you think about, well, the only kind of followers that person would have is somebody that's toothless and frothing at the mouth. But that's not true. Very intelligent people that claim to be educated, but they're deceived, you see, because you got to have more than education, and you got to have more than intelligence, and you certainly have to have more than some esoteric material with which to follow the Word of God. And what happened in the Word of God wasn't done in a corner. That's why the Apostle Peter said, this thing is of no private interpretation. You don't just get to walk out of a closet and say, hey, I got a revelation that nobody's ever had. You better put a mark on that one, because somebody somewhere has had that, because we're built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. The Word of God is true. This is a picture of Sergej Torup. He is a Serbian policeman. He rides out every year into about 40 hamlets or villages in Serbia. And they believe this man, they call him the Viserion, which is their terminology for the Messiah. He now has long hair and a long beard. He comes out on a white horse once a year and presents himself to thousands of followers as the Messiah. They have a pretty much a closed community, and all the tendencies of an end time cult. Jesus said, beware of wolves in sheep's clothing. Beware of those who would show up and try to tell you, you know, anything that contradicts the Word of God. And I've been around people who say, well, man, I had a dream. Well, tell me about your dream. And then they start dispelling the content and describing the dream. And then, well, what do you think it means? And it'd be something totally contradictory to the Word of God. And I said, no, well, you didn't get that dream from God. I don't care what kind of dreams and visions or angelic visitations that you have, if it contradicts the Word of God, that's a devil. That's satanic influence. And if you, well, and I feel this in the Holy Ghost, if you have somebody come to you and whisper in your ear, psh, 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 thus saith the Lord, and it contradicts what your pastor teaches, and it contradicts the Word of God and doctrine taught here, you reject it. Yeah, let me tell you what you do. You cup your hand behind your ear and you go, I thought I just heard a howling noise. I thought that was a nose, but it's looking more like a snout. What big teeth you have, my dear false prophet. No, no, we're too close, you see. We're too close in this hour, in this generation, to events that are transpiring and pushing us closer and closer to the rise of the Antichrist kingdom and the battle of Armageddon and the coming of the Lord. We cannot afford now to play games with what we believe and to just be like a tumbleweed blown around by every wind of doctrine. You need to make your calling and election sure. You need to know why you have been baptized in the name of Jesus. And if you're here today and you haven't repented, you haven't been born again, you haven't been filled with the Holy Ghost, you need to do it. Because the antics and the powers of delusion are only going to get stronger and more influential. Somebody lift your hands and begin to pray in the Holy Ghost here with me. There could be somebody sitting here right now. The material that you've read, maybe you're caught up in witchcraft. Maybe a little superstition here and the reading of a horoscope there doesn't seem that bad. It's just gentle like a lamb. It's like a sheep. It's not that dangerous. I'm not worried about the lamb tendencies. I'm worried about the wolf on the inside of what you're doing. And when it gets a hold of your mind and it gets in your heart, it will devour every good doctrine of the Bible. Amen. Praise God. But I'm kind of tripped up on something here in the Holy Ghost. And if you're calling 1-900 lines to get direction, you need to stop doing that business. You cannot mix pagan idolatry and the practice of the occult with truth. It'd be like taking this pure water right here, and as long as it's just water, it's not going to hurt me. But let me just put one drop of cyanide in there and might not be able to tell that it's in there. And it's like, man, it still tastes like water, you know, and then 15 minutes later, y'all trying to defib me back to life. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's so many people that constantly have to come to the altar and have spiritual CPR because you're messing around and dabbling in things you don't need to be messing with. You're in the kingdom of God. You're not worried about superstitious stuff. You're a spiritual being. Days don't bother you. Black cats ain't supposed to bother you. Walking underneath a ladder doesn't bother you, you see. Full moons, half moons, or no moon doesn't bother you. You're a child of God. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you have the Spirit of God resident in you. And if you're here and you've been bound by the occult and you've been bound by a need to read the horoscope to find out who you're supposed to meet and who you're supposed to marry, you need to get rid of that junk. You need to burn it in the fire and the purging power of the Holy Ghost, because if you get a hold of God, if you get born again of the water and of the Spirit, you won't need a horoscope to tell you about your future. You can read the back of the Bible and it'll tell you that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Oh, let's magnify him in Jesus' name. Cut the lights, please, up here.
Hashashim, or Nizari Ismaili. They still exist today, centered around the Aga Khan in India and in about 25 other countries, including the United States.
The Hashashin is somewhat out of context, except if you think back to the Crusades, when the church did, in fact, use the Hashashin as a way of furthering their goals. They used the Hashashin to murder other Muslim leaders. So they formed an unholy alliance with the Hashashin.
The Order of the Assassins was founded in Persia in 1060. They built a fortress near the Caspian Sea where they ruled for 166 years. Practicing as a secret sect within Islam, they committed very public assassinations, and always with a dagger.
The stories of this group percolated westwards and were picked up by the Crusaders, and a legend arose that the behavior of the assassins could only be satisfactorily explained through rituals that involved the ingestion of hashish, and it is indeed from hashish that the term assassin comes.
That's one of the reasons that people thought they were so crazy and why they became this myth of these maniacal hashish, stoned out, mind-controlled victims. Marco Polo wrote a whole lot of material about them being drugged into a secret garden where they were then tantalized by women and all kinds of things that suggested Muhammad's description of paradise, all of the pleasures of the flesh.
Some see an eerie similarity between the assassin's mode of conduct and the Al-Qaeda terrorists of 9/11, who lived underground in sleeper cells in America before activating their plans.
Assassins were placed as servants into the households of figures who were believed to be enemies, and they would serve their masters with great devotion, often for years. And then suddenly, and always in a public place, they would kill their masters, and always with a dagger, so that their own deaths then were inevitable.
Osama bin Laden has certainly taken a page from the playbook of Hassan al-Sabah, the head of the assassins. They are, in my opinion, very different. There was very little of the kind of indiscriminate violence we see among today's terrorists.
Frankly, it's a little racist, in my opinion. The person who attempted to assassinate Pope John Paul II was also of Turkish extraction, and that plays in very interestingly to this whole scenario because...
So we're talking about now wolves of false intentions. And if you caught in that clip where they were comparing the activities of the assassin of the 1000s to what Al-Qaeda is doing today and the practices and ideologies of the extreme Islamic group led by Osama bin Laden and some of the same tendencies of Hezbollah and Hamas and the Islamic Jihad out of Egypt, I bring this out because I believe we have in our society the wolves of false intentions. I believe we could have people in our government who could pose themselves as Christians while all along being a part of a greater plot and system and scheme to not only destroy the morals and the foundations of a Christian America, but to replace it with a more demonic version of what they believe is how the world should be run. The one thing we do know, even in the Church of the Living God, there are spirits of Cain and Balaam and Korah that constantly try to creep in. The spirit of Cain doesn't like righteousness, so he tries to kill it because he doesn't want anything to compare himself to. The spirit of Balaam, you see, it's all about greed. It's all about money. That's why you need to be careful even who you listen to in terms of even gospel preachers, because if they're trying to tell you that you can pay $1,000 and buy yourself a miracle, that's a lie from the pits of hell. Your atonement was not paid for by silver and gold. It was paid for by the precious blood of the Lamb. And I don't care who they are. I don't care how many members they have. If they ever try to get you to buy a miracle, well, do you want a $1,000 blessing? Do you want a $2,000? That's anti-Christian. That's a prosperity doctrine that's out of the pit of hell. And I'm not against prosperity. I think you can be blessed financially, faithfully in your family, in every aspect of your life. But money is not the beginning of your success. How much money you have does not tell the world that God's approval is on your life. If that's the case, we might as well close up shop and go make Bill Gates our Messiah, because he's got a lot of money. But if he hadn't been baptized in the name of Jesus, I don't care how successful you are. I don't care how many big homes you have. I don't care how many retirement plans you can lean on after 30 years of working. You must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Then we got spirits of Korah that are anti-authority, anti-anything that has to do with discipline, that has to do with moral restrictions. Don't tell me what to do. See, now while we're talking about bigger issues like governments and terrorism and national fears, we can bring it down to home right now because there are people that come into the church and say, I don't need a pastor to tell me what to do. I don't need a man of God to instruct me in the Word of God. Then you're out of alignment with the Word of God, because the Word of God gives a fivefold ministry: pastors, evangelists, apostles, and prophets, and teachers. For what? For the perfecting of the saints. You cannot be perfected in the ways of God without a preacher. You can't sit at home and get the gospel met in your life. You cannot forsake the assembling of ourselves together. I mean, how selfish is it for somebody to sit at home and say, well, I don't have to go to church. Well, aren't you just selfish? Sit at home and get fat on your own partaking of the gospel. No, you're supposed to be a part of a body. You're supposed to be involved. It's not just about your needs. It's about somebody else's needs. It's about somebody else's hurting. Weep with them that weep. How are you going to do that at home? Rejoice with them that rejoice. How are you going to do that sitting at home? Boy, I feel the Holy Ghost here. And I feel like there's somebody here today that you've got friends in your life are telling you, what do you have to go to church so much for? Why are you going to church so? You guys are always going to church. Yeah, because the Bible said, you know, the closer we get to that day, we need to do more of it. Not less. I need to be praying more now. I need to be digging into the Word of God. You need to get your preacher's tapes out and put them in your tape deck. Get the CDs out. Put them in the CD player. You need to hear the Word of God again, because you might have missed something that could help you tomorrow, might help you this week. Something that might pull the wool off of a devil's trickery and magic in your life, trying to fool you, trying to seduce you. But if you stay in the Word of God, there's no wolf of hell you got to worry about. Deception of kindness. I think it's pretty evident in the scripture that one of the strategies of the devil in the end time is going to be kindness. I don't mean Christian kindness. I'm talking about satanic kindness. I'm talking about, hey, bless your heart. Bless your heart. Bless your heart. Let's worship the Lord for a moment, church. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise. Let's worship the Lord, church. Everybody worship the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's walk with the Holy Ghost now together. Pay attention to me. Pay attention to the preaching. Bible said the spirit of the prophet subject to the prophet. Pay attention to the preaching. I could come and say, hey, man, how are you doing? Oh, man, I know they've been treating you so bad down there. Oh, man, come on. Hey, come on. Let's go sit down together and have a drink. You know? Kindness. False humility. No, you don't want to have a drink, do you? So, well, no, I'm not drinking that. I might drink from the well of living water, but I don't want what you got to offer. I don't want the deceptors, the deceivers potion. I don't want all that black magic stuff. I don't care how gentle it looks. I don't care how innocent it appears. Beware of wolves in sheep's clothing. I don't care what kind of smile they have. And it's going on in politics in our world today. One of the signs of the Antichrist is that he would speak lies in hypocrisy. Sounds like politicians to me. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. We have a rise in our generation of Islam, and I'll talk about that in just a moment a little more in detail, but destruction of kind. We're living in an hour, you see, where the Muslim extremists, they don't want to share your land with you. You either convert to what they are, or they'd like to cut your head off. It's a destruction of anything that has to do with Christianity or Judaism. The distribution of the new doctrine, which is not really a new doctrine. It's been around since the 600s. But this is a map of between Spain and China, less than 200 years after Muhammad founded Islam in 622 AD. You don't see Israel anywhere in the picture. This is the influence that they cultivated with that demonic doctrine in less than 150 years, and this is what they want again. They don't want any Israel. It wouldn't matter if Israel just wanted 30 acres of land over there. They don't want them to have anything. No state of Israel, period. That's why the Iranian president, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, who is an avid Islamic follower who believes in the return of an Islamic savior known as the Mahdi or the 12th Imam to be the direct descendant of Muhammad. He is an avid follower of that. He's put $15 million into a mosque 75 miles from Tehran, Iran, which is a place called Jamkaran, and they believe that this Mahdi will rise up out of a well that's in this mosque, that he will also return with Jesus Christ. They will walk to the Dome of the Rock in Jerusalem together. They will sit down, study the Quran, at which moment Jesus will be converted to Islam. Now, we're not talking about somebody sitting over in a corner rocking back and forth that looks like they are mentally incapacitated. We're talking about a leader of a nation. We're talking about a very intelligent man, but we're talking about somebody who believes with all of his heart, just like you and I believe in the literal coming of Jesus Christ, the second coming of Christ. This man believes in the coming of his Islamic Savior. And that they will baptize, overwhelm the world with this message. These are figures. 2.6% is the average population growth of the world annually. 2.3% is Christianity. 2.9% is the average growth of Islam in our world. In his book, The Clash of Civilizations by Samuel Huntington and the Remaking of World Order, he states that not too many years in the new millennium, which is obviously where we are now in the 21st century, that Muslim will overwhelm every major religion in the world. Folks, the Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. The enemy has a strategy and a plan. And it's almost as if you could close your eyes and imagine that Satan is sending forth wolves into every nation, wolves into every kind of church, wolves into every part of society, wolves in sheep's clothing, things that look pretty, things that can be persuasive, things that are very seductive, but when it's all said and done, it has demonic influence behind it. There's a demonic agenda with it. There's an ambition of darkness to rule the land. But while the church of the living God is still here, while we are praying in the Holy Ghost, while we are interceding and knowing that persecution may come and we may have to make a stand for the name of Jesus, we still have power to change the world. We still have power to win a neighbor, a family member, a friend on a job, to bring somebody to God before it's too late. While you stand to your feet and lift your hands to the Lord, and they give us the house lights, I want you to lift your hands and begin to pray right now in the name of Jesus. I wonder what spirit of Cain is working here. I wonder what spirit of Korah is trying to slip in. I wonder what spirit of Balaam is trying to distract you from the most important thing. Is it something on your job? Is it something in your family? Is it a relative who's had influence over your life and suddenly now they are getting your attention and your eyes are blurring from a vision of God like you used to have? I want you to reach over and take somebody by the hand right now and begin to pray for them. I want you to begin to pray that God would open a door of understanding, that God would deliver somebody today from deception, that God would open somebody's heart right now to the new birth experience.
that while all of the bad things are building up in a world headed toward an anti-Christian system, there's still good news. There's still the gospel of a Jesus that died on a cross. If you're in this room right now, and you want to get beyond the influence of wolves and dragons, let me tell you about the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world. Blood that was shed for forgiveness. Blood that was shed for your cleansing. Blood that was shed for your healing. If you're in this room right now and you've never repented of your sins, you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus, you've never had a Book of Acts experience, receiving the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues, I invite you to come to this altar today. I'm asking the church to be fellow evangelists with me. If you're standing next to somebody right now that needs God, that's here because they're hungry, that's here because they need answers, they need an anchor in their life, they need an experience with God, they've been attacked by wolves, they've been victimized by the dragon of hell, they've had addiction and things in their life they didn't know how to break, but they're here today because they need God. Would you come? I'm asking the church to help me pull the net forward. Somebody right now that needs to come and pray, would you do that? A backslider that needs to come and be restored, would you do that? Would you step out right now, church, everybody that will, and just begin to gather around the front for the next few minutes as the Spirit of God is calling. No man comes to the Father except the Spirit draw him, and the Spirit is drawing. There's a magnetism of the cross. There's a pulling and a desire of God in the name of Jesus. Would you come? Would you come in the name of the Lord? If you need God today, would you come? If you have been attacked by the enemy lately, would you come? If you feel like deception has been making a play for your mind and spirit, would you come? If you need a spiritual breakthrough in the Holy Ghost, would you come? If you need the Holy Ghost today, this is your hour. Come and seek the Lord while he may be found. Jesus is calling. Who will come? He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you'll answer, he wants to come in and sup with you. He wants to deliver you from the wolves in your life. Maybe it's not the kind of wolves we talked about up on the screen today, but maybe it's the wolves of an addiction, the wolves of abuse that have devoured you, leaving your emotions ravaged. This is the hour of deliverance, the acceptable year of the Lord, the gospel preached. Hallelujah. Reach to him right now. Let the Spirit of God deliver you today. Repent of your sins where you stand right now. Talk to the Lord about it. He wants to forgive you.